Good morning. Well, as you have figured out by now, today marks the beginning of the Advent season. It's a new year in the church calendar. And I appreciate during this busy time of year that you have made your way here this morning and we get to spend some meaningful time together in worship. Reverend Dell, on the other hand, is braving the busiest travel day of the year to make her way back, although I had heard that she, because she doesn't work tomorrow, was considering trying to give up her seat to somebody who might want it so that she can get a discount on her next flight. I say, good thinking, good anticipation of the next trip. Now, Advent is a time of anticipation. Anticipation is an interesting word in that it connotes both an emotion and an action. It describes not only the excitement about something that is going to happen, but it also refers to the act of preparing for something that's going to happen. The anticipation of travel is an excellent example. Perhaps you are planning to go on a trip this holiday season. In order to get ready, you're going to need to make a lot of plans and arrangements. So you will probably need to figure out when you're going and when you're coming back. You might have to put in for time off at work. If you have pets, you have to decide, are they traveling with you? Do you get a pet sitter? Do you take them to the pet hotel? Can't believe there's hotels for pets. And you're going to need to figure out, like, where are you going to stay? And, you know, all those things. But in addition to preparing, your anticipation also involves probably a lot of excitement every time you think about the coming trip. Anticipation has the power to motivate us so that we do prepare for something that's coming, and it can also bring a taste of the emotions of a future event into reality in the here and now. The readings this morning are all about anticipation, and I'm going to start with the easier one, the psalm reading. In the Hebrew text, the psalmist writing about an enemy, which that would be disturbing to me if I had an enemy, a treacherous enemy. And in the midst of the struggle, the psalmist says a prayer, and he prays for redemption and for forgiveness, guidance, and he prays with great confidence. He trusts in God's goodness and God's faithfulness, and he has the hope that faith provides. He believes and lives as if God is going to act in his life and in the life of Israel. Our gospel reading from the book of Luke, on the other hand, not so simple. Upon the first reading, you might have been struck by how dark it seems, especially for Advent, a season of such hope. But in reality, the text also speaks of anticipation and of hope. Speaking in Jerusalem's temple, Jesus describes the coming of great conflict, but he also promises the fulfillment of God's purposes. Using images drawn from Hebrew scriptures, it's an eschatological or apocalyptic pronouncement of what's to come. But what's to come is the Son of Man. What's to come is nothing less than the actual kingdom of God. The cosmic signs are troubling. They speak of nations in turmoil and frightened people anticipating what is to come with dread instead of hope. But Jesus' message doesn't end with these prophetic warnings. He uses the imagery, the parable of a fig tree, to remind us all to watch for the signs and to know that when these disturbing things occur, we can find hope in the anticipation of the coming kingdom. This anticipation must involve action. And Jesus warns his listeners to be vigilant, to avoid letting their spirits become bloated with indulgence, drunkenness, and worldly cares. We are to keep our hearts, minds, and hands focused on the kingdom priorities in spite of the darkness and chaos whirling around us. In Christianity, Advent marks both the period of weeks before Christmas, but it also refers to the time before Jesus' return. As a community, a nation, a world, and as individuals, we all need the hope of Advent. After the tragic violence in Paris, Beirut, and Colorado, and elsewhere around the world, by the, you know, all the backlash, the knee-jerk reactions, the fear, the hate. After the release of yet another video showing a young black man gunned down by a policeman, when that young man did nothing to provoke such a response. In the midst of all this suffering in our world, we need the anticipation of Advent today, right now, more than ever. In the wake of the Paris attacks, I decided to set a quota on my news consumption. I limit myself to only 1 hour a day. I feel it is important to know what is happening, but I don't want to get swallowed up by the darkness that is spreading like the plague. In the aftermath of the events, there have been plenty of different kinds of responses. For too many people, they get stuck in the darkness, the fear, the hate, the desire to retaliate. Politicians are using this as an opportunity to further their political agendas and careers and pile hate upon hate. Others are joining in the calls that are hateful, and they're losing sight of the big picture, the complex existence that we have here on Earth. Donald Trump has promised that if he becomes president, he will establish a Christianity test for incoming immigrants. And he's also promised that if he's president, he will inaugurate a registration system for people of the Muslim faith. These policies aren't so different from those that Hitler had established for the Jewish Germans and Europeans during the Holocaust. People in the United States have graffitied mosques with hateful messages. Yet there are the people who are shining the light of Advent, people who are a beacon in the darkness. One Muslim Parisian on the day of the attacks blindfolded himself and gave out hugs to strangers in a public square. Other Muslims have revived the Not In My Name social media campaign, taking pictures or videos of themselves condemning the acts of violence by ISIS. Christians around the globe have gathered together in prayer, candlelight vigils, protests. These people are choosing to live in the light of love. How people choose to react and act in response to violence clouds their whole perspective. Their anticipation of the world they think is going to happen actually causes that world to come to be. The quote found in your bulletin this morning reads, "Anticipation, the ability to imagine it as if it's happening, to experience it as if it's happening, while nothing is happening and everything is happening at the same time." How we live, what we think and do creates our very reality. Anticipation has this kind of power. And Jesus knew this. His temple message was not a warning of coming horrors. It was, at its deepest level, a loving message of pastoral counsel. In the darkness of turmoil, Jesus asks us to remember our faithful, loving God. God's purposes for creation will be fulfilled. Anticipate the goodness, and don't dwell on the chaos and the tragedy. Don't ignore it, but don't let it take our focus from God. Advent, the anticipation of the coming of Christmas and the coming of the kingdom in the future, is a gift. Advent reminds us that Jesus is indeed coming, but we must not forget that Jesus is already here. The kingdom is simultaneously in our future and in our now. We are able to experience the coming kingdom in our everyday experience at any moment, in this very moment, simply by remembering and acting. And in anticipation, we need to consider some things. How are we as a church and as individuals going to live out anticipation during these troubling times? How are we going to keep the hope of Advent alight in our hearts and in our minds and in our communities? How are we going to be a beacon of a love that is possible, that we can fill this world with? This Advent season, as we celebrate with our loved ones and friends and family, remember there are people who are finding it difficult to find hope. Refugees are fleeing Syria with only one or two items that they can carry. There are people dealing with mental illness that virtually makes everyday existence unmanageable. There are families made poor, wondering what they're going to eat and where they're going to sleep. And there are many people who experience the holidays as the loneliest time of the year. There is, in the midst of the joy and hope at Advent, a whole lot of suffering. And as we wait, as we anticipate, we can act in faith and love and make the kingdom more of a reality for ourselves and for others. Each day brings new opportunities to make a difference in the lives of others. We can volunteer for an organization we believe in. We can donate money to a nonprofit doing good work. We can take up a social justice cause and dedicate ourselves to righting wrongs. But it's important to never underestimate the effects of little acts of kindness. I have a friend, Jeanette Murray. We went to high school together, and she lost one of her sons to a childhood illness. He was 3 years old. In her incredibly deep yet invisible grief, she tried to go through her days as best as possible. And what she began to notice is that the tiniest acts of kindness on the part of others broke into the darkness that she was experiencing, brought a beam of light, a taste of love. And slowly she came out of that grief. After realizing how important the small acts of kindness were, she decided to take the pottery equipment she had from a business she owned years ago and to start an organization called Ben's Bells that you probably have heard of. Ben's Bells is dedicated to promoting acts of kindness in our community. And it has spread, not just our community. They now have branches in Phoenix. And they've responded to some really horrific tragedies. They responded to 9/11. They went to New York City and hung their bells so that the grieving people in New York could find them. Newtown, Connecticut, they went and they put up their bells after the horrific school shooting. And people found them. And people were so moved that they decided to open a branch of Ben's Bells in Newtown. Some might say that Jeanette is, you know, wonderful for doing that, and I agree. But Jeanette wouldn't have been moved to do that if it wasn't for a gentleman opening a door for her or a driver letting her in to a busy traffic lane or a cashier smiling at her at the checkout. Little acts of kindness make big ripples that can affect and change our world as we anticipate the coming of God. So let's choose to be an Advent people and live into the gift of anticipation that God has given us. Let us intentionally live in a way that allows God's kingdom to break into our everyday lives as we touch the lives of others. Let us take measures large and small, easy and difficult, to prepare a way for the coming of Jesus and the promised redemption of our suffering world. Let us pray. God, we read Luke's gospel, which says, "When these things begin to happen, stand up straight and raise your heads because your ransom is near at hand." God, we shudder at the signs we see. Anxieties bombard us. Our hearts are afraid. Lord, let us be vigilant. Hold our heads high. Make us an Advent people with hope as our stronghold. You once came into our world with all of its sorrows. Keep us awake and alert to your presence in the midst of our struggles now, and remind us that your love will triumph, that light will overcome the darkness. And thank you, God, for the gift of anticipation. Amen.